I have a friend who believes that Jesus is coming at any time. He said he doesn't even buy green bananas anymore. Some of you will get that. Okay, well, it's very good to be with you again today at your family Bible hour. I'm looking at the congregation right now, and it looks like I'm losing a lot of people. As soon as they announced that I was preaching, I see them, they're all going out the back door. Oh my goodness. Anyhow, for those of you who are left, let's take our Bibles and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Now, last few times I've taken the family Bible hour, I have been taking some messages from Paul's letter to the folks of Thessalonica, the Thessalonians. Matter of fact, I found out something very interesting just last week. Did you know that Thessalonica as a city, a small city, was founded in 315 BC. Yeah. Do you know that I have a world map on the wall here in my office, in my study, and I looked on that world map. Now, this is a world map, not a map of Asia or Europe or anything. This is a world map, got everything on it, okay? Guess what I can see? Thessalonica. Oh, yeah, unbelievable. Still there after all this time. And you remember the background quickly. Paul and Silas on the second missionary trip see a vision, couldn't go back into Asia anymore. A man in a vision said, come over here to Macedonia, help us. They go across the sea, Aegean Sea. They get over to Macedonia. They land in Philippi. You remember that story? Lydia gets saved. Jailer gets saved. Little church is established. Of course, there was a lot of suffering going on. Paul and Silas were beat up and thrown in jail during that time. Finally, they leave there and they travel about 100 miles and they end up in Thessalonica. Look it up on a map sometime. It's really, really interesting to get to geography. So that would be the first time, that is Philippi and Thessalonica, that second missionary journey would be the first time that the gospel went to Europe as we know it today. And so they ended up in Thessalonica. He was there only three Sabbath days preaching the gospel. And some trusted the Lord, some didn't. The ones that didn't got kind of excited and a little bit, well, Paul and the team had to get out. They had to leave for fear of their life. And they left these new Christians after 21 days or so and had to leave them. Paul continues on his missionary journey with Timothy and Silas. And about the time they get to Athens, you'll notice that on your map sometime, Paul sends Timothy back to Thessalonica to see how they're doing. There was a lot of problems, a lot of struggles and fears and persecution. And Timothy comes back and gives a report. And we have the report. It's called 1 Thessalonians, the letter. So Paul mails that letter to that little church. Now, in chapter one, we looked at several things in chapter one. We looked at the three men that wrote it. We looked at the three words of action, faith, hope, and love. We looked at three ways the gospel came, that is how Paul and his team presented the gospel in word and power of the Holy Spirit. And in much assurance, we looked at three ways they responded to the gospel. They were followers of the Lord and of Paul. They were examples to believers, and they were heralds of the gospel. They took the gospel and presented it in such a way in that whole area that Paul said, we won't have anything to do when we get back. The word is sounded out, and you've been so effective in sounding the gospel out. We looked at the three marks of true conversion. They repented, they served the Lord, and they waited for the Lord. And then in chapter 2, just a brief review of chapter 2, we see Paul as a model servant. He was a faithful steward. He'd been entrusted with the gospel. He said, I'm like a gentle mother, compassion and tenderness and care, giving of himself as a mother would. He said, I'm a concerned father for you, giving example and leadership in tenderness and in word instructing. And he was also a loving brother. That was all in chapter 2. Now we're in chapter 3. And before I read chapter 3, I got to tell you a story. Okay. Many years ago, when I graduated from Bible school, the graduation class went on what we call a senior sneak. You ever hear of a senior sneak? Oh, you're looking at me like I'm just stepped off of Mars. But it was just the senior class went away on a little 2 or 3 day excursion all together. Last time we'd see one another, probably like that forever. Who knows? Till we get to heaven. And we went on a trip, and during that trip, we visited a missionary. This was a First Nations guy, native of Canada, a missionary at a place called Manitoulin Island in Lake Huron, just off of on the Ontario side. Now, we visited this man, and we asked him, how'd you get saved? And he got saved at a Billy Graham crusade. And that was great, probably thousands, and we would hope even millions got saved during the Billy Graham crusades over the years. Now, whether you like Billy Graham or not, I'm sure you like the gospel that he preached, because he always preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, so we said to that man, you got saved? Yeah, I got saved. But he said, for 2 years after I got saved, a team member of the Billy Graham Crusade team staff followed me up. Followed you up. Yeah. He said, this person contacted me by phone or by mail. And if my memory serves me correctly, I believe he said he visited me one time during that 2 year period of time. So here is something people don't know. Billy Graham Crusade really does take serious the Great Commission. And let me tell you why. The Great Commission was to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Right. And then you are to baptize those that believe. Right. And then what? Is that it? No, that's not it. Follow up. Follow up. Teach the new converts. Disciple the new converts. So here's a new convert. Lives a few hundred miles away from where the man who's following him up lived, by phone, by mail, twice a week for 2 years. He follows this guy up. Now, he said, the last time I saw that man who was discipling me, listen to this. He said, I have 32 other spiritual children that I'm raising for the Lord. What was his ministry? Follow-up. He wasn't an evangelist like Billy Graham. I mean, who knows? He probably led a lot of people to the Lord. But his ministry was discipleship, follow-up. Now, I want you to just plant that thought in your mind as I read chapter 3. Because chapter 3, Paul is saying, I'm into follow-up. Okay, I'm into taking care of people. See, he's in Thessalonica. He's preached the gospel. Some have gotten saved. They had to leave town for fear of their own lives. Time has passed. One of the team has gone back, got a report, brought it back to Paul. Paul writes a letter. And in chapter 3, watch for the theme, follow up. Let me read it for you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, just 13 verses. Watch your Bible. Therefore, when we could no longer endure it, we thought it good to be left in Athens alone. That's where they had gone to from Thessalonica. And sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel, to establish you and encourage you concerning your faith, that no one should be shaken by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we were appointed to this. For in fact, we told you before when we were with you that we would suffer tribulation, just as it happened, as you know. For this reason, when I could no longer endure it, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter had tempted you and our labor might be in vain. But now that Timothy has come to us from you and brought us good news of your faith and love, and that you always have good remembrance of us, greatly desiring to see us as we also to see you, therefore, brethren, in all our affliction and distress, we're comforted concerning you by your faith. For now we live, if you stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God for you, for all the joy with which we rejoice for your sakes, because before our God, night and day praying exceedingly that we may see your face and complete that which is lacking in your faith. Now, may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all of his saints. Now, may the Lord bless the public reading of his word. Now, this chapter is a follow-up chapter. Paul is giving us an example of the third part of the Great Commission. Go out and preach the gospel, baptize them, the ones that believe, and then teach them. So Paul sends a man, Paul writes a letter, and Paul prays. Now you ought to just note that. If you can't go yourself, you send someone. Now Paul couldn't go, but he sends someone. So if you can't go yourself, back to check on your new converts, those that have been saved and now they are being persecuted or they're in multiple trials or something like that. If you can't go yourself, send somebody. Write a letter and pray. So let's notice that in this chapter. First of all, verse 1, very interesting thought in verse one. Paul says, when I couldn't take it any longer, I mean, I just can't. I can't settle down. I can't sleep. I can't enjoy life. And nothing's working right here. When I could endure it no longer. We thought it good to be left in Athens alone. Let me suggest the we could have been Silas. Silas was part of the team. I do believe, however, that Paul is using that in a sense. I use that all the time. I'll say something like, when we were in Ottawa, we were preaching the gospel. Well, I'm the only one that was there preaching the gospel, but I've used it in that sense. Let me suggest that whether that is true or not, here's my point. He was willing to be left alone. You say, what's that? Well, it's one thing to be home alone. I don't even like that myself. Over the years, I've left my wife alone days. Oh my goodness, I can hardly believe it. I think I'm going to have to be accountable for that somehow. But she's okay to be home alone. You know what? I don't like to be home alone. I don't like it. I mean, I can pitch a tent in the backyard and go camping. That's one thing. But to be in a house where everybody's supposed to be, like it's supposed to be other people in a house, and here I am alone, I don't like that. Now, my hat is off to singles, widows, widowers, single men and women, perhaps they never married, and they go home, and that's what they got, home alone. But you know what's worse than being home alone is to be away from home alone. And that's where Paul is. Paul is in Athens. And he says, I am willing, even I thought it would be better to be left in Athens alone than not to know what's going on in Thessalonica. So I'm going to send Timothy. Before we leave that point, let me say, whenever you are trying to help young Christians, it's never going to be easy. It's just not going to be easy. You know, when you have a baby, you know what babies do? They cry and they poop and they eat and then they repeat that and they keep doing that. It takes a lot of work, okay? And it's not easy. And when you get new Christians, guess what? Well, similar in a spiritual way. They don't know what to do. They're trying to work it out. They're just babies, you know, and it takes a lot of care. And there's always got to be sacrifice. We kind of covered this a little bit in chapter 2 when Paul said, I'm coming like a nursing mother, giving of himself, you know, time, energy, compassion, patience, tenderness, all of these things. But Paul says, I thought it better to be in Athens alone than not to know what's going on back in Thessalonica. Now, can I make an application before I leave that point? Pray for people who are away from home alone. You pray for your husband when he goes on a business trip, okay? You pray for your wife when she goes away for the weekend with friends. Or by yourself. You pray for moms and dads. You pray for children, older children who have been left by themselves. Pray for people when they are alone. Listen, it's an old saying, idle hands are the devil's workshop. Do you get that? You need to be busy. And not just busy, but busy about the Lord's work. And you're never more vulnerable than when you have nothing to do. You're walking down the street and you see people with their hands in their pocket, kicking their feet on the sidewalk and spitting and looking around. They got nothing to do. They got nothing to do. They will get in trouble, I'm telling you. And spiritually speaking, a Christian will get in trouble. How many times have I heard of a Christian going on a trip, staying by himself in a motel somewhere alone and falling in trouble. Please, please, please pray for people who are alone and especially away from home and alone. Okay, then he talks about Timothy. Now we know a lot about Timothy. I'm not going to take a lot of time about Timothy, but let me just say, Timothy is Paul's right-hand man. Probably led him to the Lord, or maybe he got saved on his mother's knee. I'm not sure. Certainly a disciple of Paul. The scriptures say here, we read, he's a brother. He's a minister. You know what that means? A servant of God. He's a worker. He's a fellow laborer in the gospel. We know that. He works the work of God, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 16. He said, all seek their own. I've only got one that's like-minded. His name is Timothy in Philippians chapter 2. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul says he's my beloved son in the faith, of course. And 1 Timothy chapter 6, Paul said he's a man of God. This is Timothy. And Timothy now is going to be sent. He's going to be an apostle sent by an apostle. Well, not one of the 12 apostles, I understand that. But the word apostle means one that is sent forth. You got it. So Paul said, I can't stand it. I'm ready to be in Athens alone. And by the way, nothing in that big, beautiful, elaborate city would have any attraction to the Apostle Paul, but it would to a lot of people. So he said, I'd rather be in Athens alone than not to know about you. So I'm sending Timothy. Now notice in verses 1 to 5, he sent this man called Timothy for several reasons. In verse 2, he says, I'm sending him so that you can be established and you can be encouraged in your faith. That's what follow-up's all about. Foundation. Concrete. You know what you teach a new convert? First thing, eternal security. Yeah, you got to get it. Got to teach it right away. Teach them that, when they trusted Christ, that settled it for all of eternity. They've trusted Christ, their sins are forgiven, they're going to heaven. Now, you must teach them this because the foundation has to be sure. Okay? Because they're going to run into trials and troubles and all kinds of things. So you teach them that when Jesus saves, it's forever. Okay? And so Paul says, establish them. We call this foundational truth, eternal security, okay? Baptism, first base, okay? And all kinds of other things. But get those things, establish them, get a foundation, okay? Establish them and comfort them. You know, you ever meet a Christian and he's going, oh, I don't know what to do. I'm not sure where to go. Oh, where should I read? Where should I look? What would God do? Comfort them. Comfort them. Take the word of God and start reading promises to them or start encouraging them in their faith. Start telling them that God has a purpose for their life so that when trials come and problems come, they're not shaken. They're not moved. And Paul says to Timothy, you go back and you do this. So he sent a man. Okay. Secondly, he wrote a letter, verses 6 to 8. Now, when Timothy came back with this good report, Paul writes the letter. We're reading it. You got a copy of it. He's writing the letter. And in this letter that he writes, it's interesting to me that he talks all about faith. Faith, 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 over and over and over. You'll see it in chapter 2 at the end concerning your faith. You'll see it in chapter 3 verse 2 at the end concerning your faith. You'll see it in chapter 3 verse 5 in the middle, I sent to know your faith. Okay, look at verse 6. brought us good news of your faith. Okay, again, verse 7 at the end, concerning you by your faith. You see that? Look at it again in verse 10. It's all over the place. What is lacking in your faith? Now, faith can be viewed in three ways. For by grace are you saved through faith. We call that saving faith. Okay. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. That's what we call saving faith. I choose to trust the Lord. I believe that Jesus died for me, that he was buried, that he rose again. This is what we call saving faith. Okay. But then we go on to another level of faith, and that is faith in God's word. Faith in God's son, the Lord Jesus, saving faith. Faith in God's word, that is, I believe what God says in his word. You have to live by that. You didn't write the Bible. God did. You say, yeah, but there's some parts I don't like. Well, okay. I don't understand everything about the Bible, but I'm not the judge. I can't say, I don't like the Old Testament, but I like the New Testament. I don't like it when God judges those people, but I like it when God saves everybody. Listen, you got to take the Bible. This is God's word. How would I know what to choose and not to choose? Okay. So there's faith in Christ. That's salvation. There's faith in God's word. That is the promises of God. The direction that God gives, a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. So there's faith like that. And then there's another kind of faith, and it's used in several places in the Bible. Listen to me. It's called the faith. Jude, verse 3, concerning the faith. Well, what is the faith? Well, it's not personal faith. The faith is the body of truth. The faith is the teaching of the apostles and the Lord Jesus Christ concerning faith. So whenever faith occurs, there's generally three aspects of faith. You trust the Lord, you trust his word, and you trust the teaching, the body of truth that the disciples taught and that Jesus himself taught. So Paul wrote a letter, and in the letter he mentions many things. But then I can't believe this. Let me just close. Oh my goodness. Wait a minute. Did the time change? Am I even on the right time? Maybe I got more time. No, that's a joke. I don't have more time. But let me say this. Paul sent a man. Paul wrote a letter. We're reading it, okay? And Paul prays. Remember those three things in follow-up. If you can't go, send somebody to go. You can write a letter, an email, a text, something, even snail mail. Write one of those if you want to. And then pray. Look at verses 9 to 13. And those verses, he talks about praying. And notice what he says in verse 9, for what thanks can we render to God for you? And look at verse 10, night and day praying. If you want to help a new convert, do what you can. If you want to help a fellow Christian, maybe it's your wife, maybe it's your husband, maybe it's your children, maybe it's your parents, maybe it's your neighbor, maybe it's somebody at the church or chapel that you go to. I don't know. But pray for them. Pray for them. Listen, many things in your Christian life will encourage you, but few things will encourage you more than somebody saying, I pray for you every day. Wow. That's pretty special. So he says, I'm praying for you night and day. And he does this. He says, I'm praying that, look at verse 11, that God will direct my path. I want to come back. I'm praying that the Lord will open that door and make and help me get back to you. He also says, I'm praying that you will increase and abound in your love toward one another. Dear friend, if you ever think of me, pray that for me, would you? That my love would abound for my fellow saints and, you know, for one another. And then he says this, pray in verse 13, that the Lord may establish your heart blameless in holiness. You know what holiness is? Holiness is the separated life. That's the taking sides with God's life. Okay, so he sent a man, Timothy, and he sent a man to establish him and comfort him. He sent a man to give him some foundational truth so they can't be moved, they can't be shaken. We're going to see that, Lord willing, in another chapter, in another time, okay? And then he writes this letter to encourage him, and then he prays. He prays about the faith, the hope, and the holiness. He prays about direction. He prays about encouraging them to love one another. And before I leave today, and I know my time is gone, before I leave, I got to say one more thing. He also mentions trials and troubles and afflictions three times. Please listen to me. When you got saved, if you are saved, Jesus never promised you that you weren't going to have any troubles. You are going to have troubles, but he's going to be with you. When you go through the waters, the troubled waters, he's going to be with you. When you go through the fire, the trials of fire, he's going to be with you. You can't run him away. He's going to be your friend. He's going to never forsake you. He's going to be with you. But Peter says, don't think it's strange, something out of the ordinary, that you have troubles and trials. Dear friend, Jesus had troubles and trials. And our job is to walk in his footsteps. So he says in verse 3, verse 4, and verse 5, he talks about trials and troubles. Well, I wish we could go immediately to chapter 4, but we'll have to wait till next week for that. Because chapter 4 is just saying, oh yeah, there's all kind of problems. But I'm praying for you. I sent a man to you. I'm writing you a letter. I'm trying to comfort you. I'm trying to establish you. I love you. And Paul is a good follow-upper, if I could use that term. He's loved. He's not finding a babysitter for his new converts. He's doing everything he can. Question is, as I close, are you saved? Do you know anything about this? Have you trusted Christ? Are you in trouble? Do you need the Lord? Trust him today. Trust Christ today. You know you can't settle it yourself. You know the thing's too big for you. Jesus is the only way. He's the only Savior. He's your only hope. Trust him, and he will see you through. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for the opportunity to read about real people in real places with real struggles and real fears and great examples of how we can encourage one another and help one another. In Jesus' name, amen.